The Italian Wine Podcast is the community-driven platform for Italian wine geeks around the world. Support the show by donating at italianwinepodcast.com. Donate 5 or more euros and we'll send you a copy of our latest book, My Italian Grape Geek Journal, absolutely free. To get your free copy of My Italian Grape Geek Journal, click support us at italianwinepodcast.com or wherever you get your pods. Grazie mille.
Welcome to the Italian Wine Podcast. This is The Next Generation with me, your host, McKenna Cassidy. For the next 30 minutes, I invite you to explore with me what young adults are up to in the Italian wine scene. Today, let's feast on our discussion of Italian wine, travel, food, and culture. Thank you for being here. Grab a glass with us. Cin cin. Hello, everyone. I'm McKenna Cassidy, Italian wine ambassador and podcaster for The Next Generation, and I'm joined by Alice Felix Yerman today. Hello, Felix.
Hello, guys. Hello, McKenna. Nice to hear you.
Ditto. I know that you have many fans in the Italian wine scene and from this podcast in particular, but Felix, you've been doing this for quite a number of years. Would you please introduce yourself for us and tell us what you're up to for work these days?
Yes. Thank you, McKenna, for the short introduction. I'm Alois Felix Yerman from Friuli Venezia Giulia, northeast Italy, right on the border with Slovenia and just below Austria, quite in, so to say, a wild, region from Italy. You know, you really have to come here because you want to come here. If not, you don't really kind of, so to say, spot yourself in here. Which is, you know, a unique part, quality, but also maybe a challenge, a barrier sometimes for tourists to come and visit us all the way here in Friuli Venezia Giulia. I come from a winemaking family. You know, my last name says it all. But over the last now 4 years, I have been dedicated to develop my own projects in the communication world, in the wine world, united with wine tastings and wine experience on the Italian market and in Europe. So this is, so to say, 360 around wine communication in fine wines in Italy at the moment.
This is very cool because for a while you were exclusively, in my understanding, representing your family's winery.
Exactly.
But then over a period of time, you kind of evolved to become a consultant for other wineries because you found a passion in media and in exposing your area in all its different aspects on video, audio, like any interviews or images. You're very skilled with your camera. So you really just started to make the whole region accessible in a new way to people who had never visited it, chose not to take the hour and a half train ride outside of Venice to come. And I think that's so cool. What kind of led you in that direction?
Growing up in the wine world and representing my family winery at the beginning of my, so to say, wine career, I've always seen that the current gatekeepers, so the winemakers, the winery owners, which, you know, have created the wine world that we know today, present themselves almost like a pedestal. And it's not always inclusive. It's often scary for a person that is not so knowledgeable in the wine world or is just approaching the wine world. And my goal since the beginning has always been to make wine understandable, wine approachable, and to bring closer the younger consumer, the new generation, to get to know wine with first steps, whatever that means. This led me to really believe in my style of communication and being very passionate about, you know, creating experiences tailored for the fine wine industry, but with a more fresh approach, an approach that is easily understandable, and it can, you know, communicate the essence, the quality, the uniqueness of the wines that we're tasting, but in a much more, so to say, vibrant and incomprehensible manner, which often in the wine world we used to tend so many, so to say, technical terms that can put off some wine lovers and wine enthusiasts at the beginning of their journey. And so just step by step, you know, by adventuring, by, you know, in the wine world for my own, to say, experiences, you know, traveling around Italy and other parts of the old world in Europe to, you know, have my own personal background and knowledge and continue my education in the wine world. I started, to say, sharing the stories of my favorite winemakers and sharing the stories behind the wines that I fell in love with. And this, so to say, passion transformed itself into a proper, so to say, lifestyle and work, because now a lot that you see on my social is work as well, because we communicate realities from around Italy mostly at the moment to basically, you know, expose them in a positive manner, I would say, and bring out true characteristics that really allow them to shine. And so, yeah, it's been, you know, a very natural self-development in the wine journey. I've been very lucky to have been growing up in a family that, you know, makes wine for five generations now, and seeing what I liked and, so to say, changing what I didn't. This is kind of my style of communication and my work. On the other hand, I'm also very lucky because from the other side of the family, I come from the restaurant business as well. So to say, from my mother's side, we own a traditional restaurant here in Gorizia called Trattoria La Luna. I've always been dedicated to serving tables and, you know, serving wine. This is actually one of my first passions, you know, serving and sharing, so to say, wine vibes. And so to say, the mixture of the two, you know, allowed me to have the experience, the knowledge, of course, with education and other experiences, to then kind of, so to say, trot along my own journey. And this is kind of what we're doing at the moment.
This is great. This is so important, what you've kind of evolved to doing for your work, but also your passion and your gifts is what I get the most questions about. I get so many questions about, like, what's going to happen to the wine industry for the next generation. Many producers who have been making wine for quite some time are looking to innovate and make their storytelling accessible to the youngest wine drinking generation. And I think you're exhibiting that. So, like, just for context, Alex, how old are you?
I'm 27 years old right now.
You were obviously in the winery the whole time, but when you were about, like, 16 to 18, you started speaking on behalf of the winery, would you say?
Yeah, you could say that. Definitely not officially, though. Officially, being a little bit later, you know, during those days, I was probably working mostly behind the scenes, you know, in the vineyards, in the winery itself. And then, yes, of course, occasionally in some wine tastings or occasion, I presented the winery. But at the time, I was more focused on, say, learning the details of winemaking and of, so say, whatever made you know, the uniqueness and the quality of the wines we are so known for. You know, my first experience really with the U.S. market, for example, is the New York wine experience in 2014. That was great, so to say, because, you know, everything that I've learned, I at home, I was able to, say, share it with SOMs and restaurant tours from New York, and that was really thrilling and exciting. But, you know, to start this journey, and we do this a lot in our communication, is really, you know, you have to start from the basics. I've been very lucky to have a family that taught me how to start from the basics and, you know the intricate details that make a wine what it is. And I think it's really important in today's world to be able to read a wine with your own key in terms, but understanding a wine and making, so to say, a comprehensive judgment from it, which you may like it or not, it's fine, but you need to understand if it plays your chord, or exactly, so to say, some enological technical terms that are important to make you, so to say, understand and have a clear vision of wine, then you can make it your own. But starting from the basics was definitely something important. So in those days, yes, I was more behind the scenes. And then when I say, when I've shown that I understood what I was talking about and that I had enough experience, then, so to say, the family brought me out and allowed me to share storytelling and sales, of course.
And it's fascinating too, because that's, I mean, your consulting now is really connected to your original passion of serving wine tableside for others and storytelling for them in a restaurant. You're doing that just in a different way, through different channels, metaphorically, metaphysically, as it were. It's awesome because the storytelling changes, of course, for each guest tableside. Your story will shift slightly based on what you can tell they're interested in. Like you mentioned, maybe they're most interested in what vineyard this came in. Maybe they don't understand what grape it is, so they must understand where the grape is from. Maybe they are afraid of the wine because they think they might not like it. So the storytelling kind of varies. And then maybe you're really good at this on your media and just in your personality. When you're speaking in front of a group, you do incorporate a level of humor that helps people relax. And I think that can't be underestimated when telling wine stories, especially in, like, modern drinking culture, when cocktails are obviously wildly popular and growing in popularity. Like, there's a level of humor about cocktails that I think makes them attractive to new drinkers. Similarly, with wine, it's always fruitful to incorporate good humor with that.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Don't forget to visit our YouTube channel, Mama Jumbo Shrimp, for fascinating videos covering Stevie Kim and her travels across Italy and beyond, meeting winemakers, eating local food, and taking in the scenery. Now back to the show.
For sure, for sure. No, no, the story always changes and it has to change. It cannot be a monotonous to say copy and paste speech. That definitely doesn't work, because we all have filters and we all understand if what you're saying is the truth, or if it's a camouflage, or if it's like something that they told you to say, or if it's a lie. You know, we can kind of sense that. And this, so to say, authenticity is very much converting also into sales, because you have to be authentic in front of the customer. You have to be authentic in front of the sommeliers, the restaurateurs, when you present the wines. And that really turns into then positive and growth sales as well for the wineries. So it's like everything is very much interlinked, you know, it's part of a matrix. And I think what the young generation is noticing definitely now is that how can we communicate better, you know, our reality? How can we get people to know about our indigenous grape variety that we only know here in the region? You know, how can we get people excited about a certain wine label or tasting event? So if it's like either on media, on social, or through, say, tailor-made experiences, communication, you know, always slightly shifts, but authenticity, clarity, and open-mindedness are always key factors that make it a successful communication and experience.
So what does wine vibes mean?
So I studied in San Francisco.
It's everywhere and I love it and I don't know what it means.
I use a little bit less now, actually, honestly, but I used to use it so much more in the past.
You had a season for vibes. Vibes was a thing.
Vibes was a thing for sure. No, I've been lucky enough to study in San Francisco. I studied international business at the USF, University of San Francisco. And while I was there, I did a few interns in Napa, Sonoma, Modesto. We know the wine we were talking about. And during those times, you know, I was studying also San Francisco, all these young people, and like vibes was the term there, as to say, to use, you know, when something was cool and nice and it felt good.
I did the same.
Yeah, let's have some good vibes, you know. Like wines is, I feel wine is emotions. Wine is connectivity, is bringing people together. You know, imagining having a party without wine or without any, so to say, delicious juice that we enjoy. It wouldn't be the same with water, definitely. And so this, so to say, idea of vibes is just like these emotions that the wine emanates and that the wine brings out to every consumer. We may not enjoy the same type of wine, but there is definitely a type of wine for every person.
Many people might struggle to believe that, but I think we have to believe that.
I'm always like intrigued sometimes when I travel like overseas, also to Asia, for example, and I was able to, you know, maybe serve or present a specific type of wine that even for people that would not drink wine because they're not really used to drinking wine, or then they don't come from a wine drinking culture. But how, you know, say specifically tailored wine or, you know, thought after, so to say, taste can actually still be appealing to even the non-drinker, because there is such a wide variety of wines around the world that is exciting and allows, so to say, the consumer to approach this wine world.
Right. Okay, so let's get into your family's restaurant. Do you prefer Alla Luna Gorizia or Alla Luna?
Alla Luna is the name. Gorizia is the town. Trattoria Alla Luna of Gorizia would be, so to say, the name plus the location.
So for our listeners who can't picture Gorizia in their head, Gorizia is in Friuli Venezia Giulia, but it's right in between. It's technically in the Friuli Isonzo, and it's north of Carso and south of Colio Goriziano. So these are just very different areas. They're all delineated by different hills. And so Gorizia is a place and Alla Luna is your family's restaurant. Walk us through what it's like to enter Alla Luna and be seated.
Wow. So there's a lot happening, guys, because there's all of these, so to say, small pieces of memories that my grandmother, my mother, my aunt collected over the many years of the restaurant. And it's just basically, there's so many little details that make it unique in terms of, you know, how we dress and the type of, so to say, mise en place that we use. which is always different and unique for every table, very colorful, all of these historic pieces that are in different places, so many open bottles with memories in them and signed on them. It's very, very welcoming, very warm. There's only ladies working in there at the moment, apart from me as the sommelier and the one curating the wine list from behind the scenes, and now actually a chef. But the show is run by ladies in this place, so you definitely feel welcome then.
It's beautiful. Who are the ladies who run it?
The boss is, my grandmother, Celestina. Then we have, you know, my zia, my aunt, which is Elena. You have my mother, which is Roberta. And then you have some great collaborators, Vivian and Alessia, which work on the floor. And then we have, another four people in the kitchen that are essential, of course.
So this is so cool. So for those who can't picture the restaurant, I am excited to go here one day, but I love the pictures of it. Basically, it's a good thing. Everything is mismatched. The tablecloth, Felix mentioned the mise en place, which means the silverware, the plates, the glasses, the cups. It's all providing this sense of color and joy. And it's like organized and seemingly disorganized. This is just my interpretation. I think it's like awesome. The menu is also really extensive. So talk to me about, like, earlier you and I were talking about making luxury wine accessible to new friends of wine and consumers. And I think your menu is actually doing that for food as well. So for example, you offer salami pinned with wooden clothespins on a line. But then you have something very simple like lard with ricotta, but then there's lemon scented orange powder on it. This is so, we would call this postmodern. This is very radical in a positive way. How do you interpret that?
So basically, it's all of, like, the recipes from my grandmother and my grandfather from the years, of course. Tradition is mid-European, so it's a crossing between, you know, Slavic cultures and Italian cultures, well, in terms of food. Mid-European would be the specifics, to say, style of food. But that, of course, is then, so to say, spiced up and rendered a little bit more creative by the intuitions of my aunt Elena, and my grandmother, of course. So it's the creativity that you see in the restaurant is also then found in the plates. We use, you know, of course, traditional recipes from my grandfather, from my grandmother. They're prepared in a slightly more innovative or, so to say, fun and exciting manner to be appealing not only to the taste, but also to the eye, which is another important aspect. So yeah, meet European cuisine to the fullest, very rich cuisine for sure, but all tweaked with the fun, creative aspect that brings it, so to say, to 2024 that we are today.
Yeah. That's awesome. Tell me about the upcoming wine dinner with Colio and Borgon.
Oh, yeah, nice one. Yeah, well, you know, as part of my project was been to develop, you know, the wine list in the restaurant. Already, my zia did a great job in putting together a beautiful wine list. But we felt that the consumer would come to La Luna and mostly drink the house wine, which is exceptional. We've been working, you know, with local growers for our house wine for since, you know, the restaurant has been open. But I wanted to develop the wine list and the wine experiences and, so to say, showcase the wine varieties and wine labels that we have at the restaurant, which, you know, for the town that we are at, we are probably one of the most well-nourished wine lists in town. Since after COVID, actually, I started creating or, so to say, organizing wine experiences with local producers and also international producers, depending on the type of format that we used to do. Always to promote the culinary experience, the enogastronomical experience in the restaurant, but with in these, so to say, selective experiences with a bigger attention to the wine as well. We did one very beautiful one with the Antinori family in February. We did another one before with a small producer from the Collio area. And right now, because one of our, so to say, local partners, which is called Primozic, has won this year this very important prize, which doesn't happen twice normally, which is the White Wine of the Year, Bianco dell'Anno from Gambero Rosso, say the most prestigious Italian wine critic for wines. I thought because there's also a very, so to say, vibrant and thriving new generation, young generation in the wineries, why don't we do a tasting together to say, exhibit the quality of your Chardonnay. The Chardonnay was the one that winning this prize, but we also compare it to, you know, the standard, the benchmark for international Chardonnays or Chardonnays in the world. You know, everywhere maker will make Chardonnay, looks at Burgundy, looks at French, to say, inspired Chardonnays. Of course, it's never replicable because of the terroir and the winemaker experience that they have there. But it's interesting how Chardonnay can always be so well, not manipulated, but can so well adapt to different, to say, microclimates and terroirs around the world. That's why it's, if I'm not mistaken, one of the most, to say, planted grape varieties from the world. And therefore, I decided to say, compare there are two Chardonnays of theirs against two Burgundy Chardonnays. We are presenting, so to say, the new vintage 2019 that is soon going to be released by the winery, and the award-winning 2018, in comparison to two nice Burgundy wines from established producers. They are a little bit younger, so they will be a little bit fresher
inside. Yeah,
exactly. I think it's going to be a fun tasting. It's going to be definitely exciting. It will be a nice comparison. We, together with us, we also have a Burgundy expert, because hands down I still need to learn a lot about Burgundy, that will be presenting the two wines. Of course, I'll be in charge of the service, part of the storytelling as well, but you know, in this case I will let most of the talking and the presentation to the winemaker, and to, in this case, this Burgundy expert that will be able to articulate exactly the details of the wine.
So this is going to be a very technical dinner. Do you think it will attract both younger drinkers and more experienced drinkers? Or is this going to be booked with mostly people who have having wine for a long time? Or is this meant to make new friends of Chardonnay in this way? Because it's a fairly youthful thing and you're a young person producing it.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, the bookings are mostly, I would say, Gen X millennials, so to say, or older millennials. But we have some Gen Zs as well coming, some very young Gen Zs, obviously allowed to drink with legal age.
Yes.
But no, Alla Luna is able to bring together also some younger people, for sure. We have, of course, the aficionados, the traditional clients, would be, you know, also baby boomers and everything. But I'm happy to say that we're bringing closer the younger generation. And definitely there's a lot of attention from the younger generation. It is a kind of a pricier dinner this time, because of the wines that we've selected, because of the menu. So, you know, maybe you need to have a certain spending power as well to be able to afford it, because, you know, French Burgundy, they don't gift it to you. Actually, it's so overpriced at the moment. But what can we do? It's going to be fun, exciting. We still have a few spots available now, but I'm looking forward to having a good event.
Well, we are out of time. I want to thank you so much for your expertise, and thank you for telling the story of wine to many people around the world. I think people frequently remember their interactions with you, and that partly is because of your presence with them, your sensibility to where they're at in wine, and your ability to connect with what part of the story will matter most to them. So abundant cheers and happy new year to you. And I know we'll talk again soon.
McKenna, thank you so much. I appreciate the conversation.
Tante grazie for joining me today. Remember to catch our episodes weekly on the Italian Wine Podcast, available everywhere you get your pods. Salute.